Blog Talk Radio.
Lovely people.
Good morning, Miss Corey. How are you?
I am good. I am full of 5-hour energy juice.
Rawr, that's awesome. I have already taken all my stuff. I'm already wired up, so hopefully it won't kick in like midway through. I think I'm already okay. Yeah.
She says wee. Y'all be afraid. Be afraid.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Oh, man.
It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
Are you sure?
I'm very sure.
I don't think it's Wednesday.
No, it's hump day. It is hump day. Get your hump on.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't, we actually went through a beginning song, at least just about, without Leroy. I was like, where's Leroy? Where is
Leroy Jenkins!
He just wanted to hear his name, that's all. See, Leroy likes to be called every now and again. Some people just drop their coffee. I'm sorry about you with the soup. I'm sorry.
My bad. I'm sorry.
You can blame Ginger. It's her fault.
I did do it.
Are you absolutely certain it wasn't you? You said his name.
All right, I might have done it. Mm-hmm. It's one of those... oh, good God. Beetlejuice. There we go. I can see it. Say his name enough, and there he is.
Okay, you threw me off with the Beetlejuice for a minute. Why are you throwing out Beetlejuice? Is there somebody? Oh.
Beetlejuice.
Did he show up?
No.
Too bad.
All right. All right, so we are a bit goofy this morning, people. Just a little bit. It's hump day. It happens.
Yay.
And y'all are listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey. And I am Corey.
And I am Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice. Okay, no.
Beetlejuice. You know what? We're always typing. I bet people are like, what are y'all doing? We're getting good news, getting up to speed.
We are. Actually, I was logging into my correct Facebook so I could steal any stories that are over there.
Wow. There's so much.
Want to start or I want to start?
You want to start? You got something juicy?
Sorry.
Okay, because my voice just left. Do you hear that?
I see that. Oh, yeah. My God.
Wow. Okay, go ahead.
Love Miss Game Politics. I'm constantly pulling stuff from there. Mega Upload founder Kim.com released. Yay!
Yay for Kim.
Well, yeah, kind of halfway yay. All right, so Mega Upload founder Kim.com has been given bail by a New Zealand court with some restrictions, of course. .com was awarded bail after a judge determined that he wasn't a flight risk. .com told reporters outside the court, I am relieved to go home to see my family, my 3 little kids, and my pregnant wife. And I hope you understand that this is all I want to say right now. .com was released without any bond. While details of the conditions for his bail were not disclosed, we know that one, no use of the internet is one of them. .com conveyed to the media that he was treated well enough by police while in their custody, saying that he felt like he was auditioning for American Idol. Forgive me, this is not really well, people. All right, so U.S. authorities allege that .com, through his file-sharing site, enabled users to download millions of copyrighted works, costing the entertainment industry $500 million in revenues. He was arrested January 20th. The U.S. government is seeking extradition of .com and three of his colleagues on racketeering charges. You see how this is, people? He's in New Zealand. He's a New Zealander. He's a Kiwi. And we're trying to bring him here to punish him by our laws. We influenced his country to take him in and try them under pretty much our laws. So this is nuts. All right, so .com says that he will fight that extradition because New Zealand authorities seized millions of dollars in investments and assets owned by .com. North Shore District Judge Nevin Adelson found that he was no longer a flight risk. The court added that it was unaware of any hidden money or assets that could help him leave the country. All right. You know what, America? This is so, so ass backwards. And I know it's morning and I should watch my language, but it is. So completely backwards. Why are we influencing other people's laws? Don't we have enough issues to take care of on our own here?
And, you know, this just falls into the whole American stereotype that other countries believe about us, that, you know, we think we're above and beyond everyone else.
Yeah,
why is what they did not good enough?
Exactly, exactly. And you know what? And this whole H.R. 1981 that y'all are pushing, oh, it's going to protect children from child pornographers. And no, this is just another add-on to this whole thing. And you know what? You want to spend your money protecting the kids? How about we actually use that money to fund the programs that are supposed to protect the kids, these welfare programs, these different social working programs, whatnot, that they're understaffed, underpaid. We can't get people in there that want to do the jobs because they can't get paid. They don't want to live, you know, hand to mouth, pretty much doing that kind of work.
But please, let's pay grown men to bash into each other millions of dollars. Please, let's do that.
Yes, yes, yes. And let's pay Spain and let's pay Austria and all these other countries to do what we want because that sounds like a good idea.
Boo.
All right, people, get out and vote. We got to get these asshats out of office.
I think I got Ginger riled up this morning.
Yeah.
And she's eating candy, so it's not good. I heard that, by the way.
Did you?
I did. I heard that.
Oops.
Well, more news from Microsoft this morning. More fighting from Microsoft. They've filed an antitrust complaint against Motorola Mobility with the European Commission on grounds that it is unfairly leveraging its patents. The company announced this today on their company blog. VentureBeat is reporting that the move comes hot on the heels of Apple's decision last week to also file a complaint against Motorola in the EU. Both Apple and Microsoft lawsuits come just days after the U.S. and EU approved the sale of Motorola to Google for $12.5 billion. Sounds like some sour grapes to me, actually, Microsoft. Sorry. In a post colorfully titled, "Google, Please Don't Kill Video on the Web," Microsoft VP Dave Heiner makes the case that Motorola is playing hardball with its patents tied to watching web videos. In legal proceedings on both sides of the Atlantic, Motorola is demanding that Microsoft take its products off the market or else remove their standards-based ability to play video and connect wirelessly. Henner wrote, that's what Henner wrote on the blog. He also says the only basis for these actions is that these products implement industry standards on which Motorola claims patents. Yet when the industry adopted these standards, we were all counting on Motorola and every contributor to live up to their promises. Post-contest, Microsoft is offering its patents for license versus what Motorola is offering. Microsoft allows manufacturers who create a $1,000 laptop to use more than 2,300 patents for 2 cents. Wow. But Motorola is now saying Microsoft needs to pay a royalty of $22.50 for 50 patents on the same $1,000 laptop. For a $2,000 laptop, Motorola is demanding a royalty of $45. The 50 patents are related to the H.264 video standard, which is essential for watching most web videos. Patent Wars commentator Florian Mueller writes that Motorola is doing what could be looked at as unfair because they are cutting into a standard agreed upon by the industry. He further explains that standard essential patents aren't powerful because of their technical merits. He says most of the time they aren't particularly innovative. They're just critical because they cover mandatory parts of standards. That's the only reason they can't be worked around once they're part of an industry standard. He said it's key that the owners of such patents act responsibly, and some of them don't. Antitrust intervention is needed. On one hand, I see your complaint, Microsoft. On the other hand, you kind of tried to do the same thing to Google.
Yes.
Payback's a bitch.
Karma.
Or what is it, my favorite TV line? You know what they say about payback? Well, Motorola's a bitch.
Yes.
Motorola's a bitch in this instance. Let's be right because we're supposed to be fair and impartial journalists here. Everybody go to their corners and Microsoft say you're sorry for trying to overtake Google. Google say you're sorry to Microsoft. Let's everybody hold hands. Okay, give them hugs and kisses. Okay, let's let it all go. Woosah.
Breathe in. Breathe out the hate. Breathe out the love. Breathe out the hate.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No, unfortunately not. That is not how this kind of thing works.
Oh, the fighting. And there's more fighting, by the way. I'm going to have, after Ginger does her next story, even more involving Google and Safari. Yeah.
Yay! Mm-mm-mm. All right, so, critically acclaimed stealth action title comes to Nintendo 3DS. All right, so Konami today announced Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater 3D for the portable Nintendo 3DS. Is now available. Metal Gear Solid fans can now explore the immersive jungle setting as it comes to life using the Nintendo 3DS Glasses Free 3D Imaging System. That gave me a headache. Set during the Cold War of the 60s, Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater 3D sees series hero Snake infiltrating the Soviet jungle to bring back a scientist held against his will. It's always a scientist. Poor scientist. Beginning on the outskirts of a military base, the player must use Snake's stealth skills along with the foliage and shade that the jungle offers as cover to infiltrate unseen. As the game progresses, old faces make unwelcome appearances, and a series of terrifying boss characters must be defeated before. Before leading to a dramatic twist that brings Snake face to face with a key figure from his past. All right, so it's got 3D elements, camouflage photography, and if I remember right, this is the one that you can actually take pictures of, like, your pants, your wall, whatever, and actually help him blend in. So that's kind of cool.
That does sound cool.
Yeah, users can now take a picture of real-life items and create a camo suit based on them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's awesome, although the extent of its effectiveness will vary depending on how well the picture blends with Snake's environment. That is cool. All right, so I've got this up on GameMatrix.com this morning. Head over there and check that out.
Wow.
Yay!
I would be excited, but I have no 3DS. So anyway.
I know. Nintendo, hello. Nintendo, I'm bouncing the fluffy cakes. Where is my 3DS?
Our Nintendo guy went to another company. He went to another company, so now you got to bounce fluffy cakes to someone new. And it might be a woman, and she might not want you to bounce the fluffy cakes.
Yeah, hey, these fluffy cakes are epic.
They are. I concur. They really are. All right. Well, this next battle is brought to you by Safari and Google.
Really?
And by the letter S for Sue.
Nah, 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 Sue.
And the letters P and V for privacy violations. All right. So.
Oh, no.
All right.
That's not good.
This is more from our people over at VentureBeat. Be a few people. Wall Street Journal did an expose that detailed how Google was bypassing the default privacy settings on Apple's Safari browser. Remember, we told you about this yesterday with Facebook and IE and everybody else involved. This was in order to place tracking cookies that follow users around the web. Matthew Sobel, an Illinois resident, has filed suit against Google in federal court in Delaware and is seeking class action status. This report also comes from Bloomberg. Sobel's lawyers assert that Google knowingly violated federal wiretapping laws by placing these cookies in the browser of Safari users who believe that their setting blocked this kind of advertising technology. Class action suit means we're all going to be involved if you've used a Safari browser, including myself, on a cell phone I had previously, and now that I've had that at my house, I get to sign a class action suit. I'm sorry. Sobel's lawyers assert that I backed up. Scrolling. The journal
hits you every time.
Yes. The journal mischaracterizes what happened and why. Now, we know known a Safari functionality I'm sorry. This is from the statement. It said, we use known Safari functionality to provide features that signed-in Google users had enabled. It's important to stress that these advertising cookies do not collect personal information. That is from Ms. Rachel Whetstone, who's a Senior Vice President of Communications and Public Policy at Google. She told VentureBeat that unlike other major browsers, Apple's Safari browser blocks third-party cookies by default. However, Safari enables many web features for its users that rely on third-party and third-party cookies, such as like buttons. Last year, we began using this functionality to enable features for signed-in Google users on Safari who had opted to see personalized ads and other content, such as the ability to plus one things that interest them. Plus one is Google's thing if you like stuff. The search giant's position is that they are simply trying to see if users were already signed in with their Google account so they could use the plus one button when logging in again. But in doing so, the company also placed advertising cookies. They said, we didn't anticipate that this would happen, and we have now started removing these advertising cookies from Safari's browsers. It's important to stress that just as on other browsers, these advertising cookies do not collect personal information. I say that is a blatant lie. How many times have I been in my Gmail and I'm reading something about, shoes, and then the ads start popping up with shoes all around it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Something. And sometimes they're there even when I come back. You know, I may have gotten rid of that email, and it'll be stuff all about shoes, you know, high-heeled, you know, the purple ones that we like from Just Fab. They'll be all over the place. Every email I open is at the top. So you're collecting something that's personal. You're looking in my email because it's usually one word in an email that it picks up on, and then it just starts showing you ads. So,
yeah, no. But these people, you know, they're really good at lying. So,
now, some of the people are saying if you don't like Google, you can use Yahoo and Bing or whatever. Unfortunately, we all know where this is headed. The migration from Facebook has started. It is going back to Google and Google Plus. Tons of people use Gmail worldwide. So it's not as simple as I'm going to pick up and move to Bing and Yahoo. And we all know Bing is part of IE, so it has its own tracking cookies that it's using.
Yes. And I don't like Bing. I like Yahoo better. Hold on. I like Yahoo better than Bing. I like Google better than all of them, except for the tracking thing. Stop that. That's not nice.
Oh, wait a minute.
Looking at my window. Those are not midget strippers. At least not the ones you're looking for.
Before I let Ginger jump back in, I got to share this comment from what Mr. Steve Smith over, he posted on VentureBeat. Google, you're a lying sack of beep. Watching what I do is collectively collecting personal information. The internet has become too strippy people. I agree, Steve. Ah, that's horrible. Okay, Ginger, back to you, Ginger.
Oh, my God. All right. Take the new action title to the next level with expansion packs, Volume 1 and 2. Konami Digital today announced that the Never Dead expansion pack, Volume 1, is now available for download and includes all new online experiences with a new playable character, pop idol Nikki Summerfield. 3 additional challenges within the expanded asylum level, and 2 new online costumes for the main character, Bryce Boltzmann. In addition to Volume 1 comes Never Dead Expansion Pack Volume 2, available for download on February 28th. That's just 6 days away, people. And Volume 2 fans can enhance their online playing experience with new playable character, Nada Chief Sullivan, 3 new challenges within the expanded sewers level, and 2 additional online costumes for Bryce Boltzmann. All right, so what have we got? We got some highlights. There's a new character. There's 3 new game challenges. Revisit an expanded sewers level with all new challenges. Egg hunt. Scour the expanded sewers level for collectibles by delivering them to designated score zones. Make sure to hold on tight to your collectibles, as opponents can snatch any that you drop along the way. With enemy ambush points and environmental hazards at every turn, this challenge is tricky. Fragile Alliance, a competitive race through a number of checkpoints spread across the map. You can interrupt other players' progress by attacking each other. The increase of environmental hazards and enemy spawn points will keep you on your toes. There's also the 2 additional character costumes, Dress Bryce Up. All right, so if you haven't heard about Never Dead, players become the immortal Bryce Boltzmann, a tragic hero who has endured a suffering existence to the murder of his wife at the hands of Astaroth, the Demon King. moving through life without aspirations other than when he will find his next drink. He fights alongside his partner, Arcadia, for the National Anti-Demon Agency, exterminating modern-day demonic forces. And this is also the game, yes, folks, where he gets to rip his body apart and bounce his head all over the place, and it looks like so much fun. I want to play. All right, so it is available for the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360.
Yay.
And then over to GameNatrix.com. I've got screenshots up for you. Yes, I do.
All right. Well, more news from from UK retailer Game. Yeah. They're saying we can't do everything. We can't stock absolutely everything. They told GI.biz this morning. It said it's unable to stock all new releases in part due to shelf space in stores. Yesterday, it was revealed that the retailer would not be stocking any of Ubisoft's PlayStation Vita games at launch, which we told you about. Also, canceled pre-orders for the special edition of the Wii game, The Last Story, days before release. The company is negotiating releases on a case-by-case basis with games publishers following a troubled year in which it expects to report an 18 million euro loss. But Games marketing director Anna Marie Mason told Eurogamer that there is no one specific catch-all reason why the retailer isn't able to offer new releases to customers. They said, with regard to Ubisoft titles, that is the one moment in time. It doesn't mean to say that we won't have that title or part of our proposition on an ongoing basis. We just can't stock absolutely everything. It's just not possible. The same applies in a rational way to our online business, she added. There isn't a definitive reason why we haven't been able to stock those two things recently, but that may well change. Last week, the store did not have copies of Namco's Tekken 3D Prime Edition, meaning it was not available on sale at over 350 UK stores. The game did not chart in the official UK sales charts as a result. Mason also said that consumers who place pre-orders shouldn't lose faith in the retailer, as recent situations are expected and are not an indication of forthcoming problems with other titles. She said, we know our customers really well. Most of them have a really long history with us, and they know as a business we are absolutely committed to giving the best possible range as much of the time as we possibly can. The instances we've had in the last couple of weeks are absolutely the exception, not the rule. Okay, I am not there in the UK, so I don't know, but I am looking at some of the comments from like a Codemasters who is based in the UK. David Herod, who's a senior programmer over at Codemasters, is saying, says, funny, they've got plenty of room to devote three-quarters of their stores to pre-owned games. And there's several other people in the UK that are agreeing, saying that one person says they didn't even have new copies of Skyrim in stock. They only had used one last time he was there. I can understand on one hand why they do the used copies or why they're putting those out front, because they stand to make more money. A lot of the game companies are also getting irritated with them about this because they don't make any money off of resales, which I'm not understanding how royalties work with games. How is it different from music? If you sold it and somebody brought it back, shouldn't you get part of that money? It's being registered as a sale. It's still going on the charts as far as we know.
You would think.
Well, no, it is because, you know, we get a ton of charts actually every Monday morning. I'm forgetting. We only put up the top 10 new sales, but in that packet that we get is best used game sales, which one on, you know, it's even broken down by console, but we just choose to do a generalized one. But, yeah, so they're registering as being sold, so why are you guys not collecting any money from this? Or why are you stupidly not collecting any money from this? I don't understand. Explain to us, 5-year-old.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder. All right, what have I got? Summon the fighter within Atlas to bring Persona 4 Arena HD fighting game in collaboration with Arc Systems to North America this summer for Xbox and PlayStation 3. All right, so developed in partnership with genre master Arc System Works, Persona 4 Arena uses gorgeous, hand-drawn, high-definition 2D anime-style fighters and colorful, over-the-top special effects to bring to life characters from the acclaimed, highly popular Persona 3 and Persona 4. Backed up by an original hardcore fighting engine from one of the most respected 2D fighting game developers in the industry, Persona 4 Arena represents the biggest, most noteworthy expansion of the esteemed series to date. And apparently that's about all the information they're going to give us. So, if you want to read about it, you can head up to GameNatrix.com in the morning. And that was a short one. So I think I'm going to grab another one.
Go.
THQ announces Homefront Ultimate Edition for Europe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe they have some good luck with this. The best-selling original first-person shooter IP debut of 2011 to be re-released on March 23rd with all previously released DLC included. Available as part of the Xbox 360's Classics PlayStation Platinum ranges for a suggested retail price of £19.99 Frank's Lindens, whatever the little elf sign is, and $24.99 cookies, crepes, whatever the little sea sign. The Homefront Ultimate Edition will contain the Homefront game and all downloadable content released to date, including both map packs, the Rock and Fire Sale, and the 870 Express Shotgun. Homefront was released in March 2011, with the balloon released, and became the year's best-selling debut original IP in the first-person shooter category and one of the top three best-selling new IPs overall, topping the charts in the U.S., U.K., and across Europe. This was right before THQ tanked face first.
Yes, that's not very nice.
Wow. All right. I know some of you are out there thinking to yourselves, let them grow corn.
Corn?
Corn.
What if I don't want to grow corn?
Well, it is a farm kingdom, after all, so you have to grow corn. Mail.ru.
Corn and I don't care.
Mail.ru Games, you know I love their name. Creators of War of Dragons, Allied Online, Juggernaut, and Gunblade Saga is launching the first major update for a social game Farm Kingdom. Now players can compete against each other in two exciting new minigames, Mushrooms and yes, so they say if you want to relax from your daily toil, you can take a trip to the nearby forest. Here, farmers get a chance not only to enjoy the beauty of nature, but also to collect something that thrives in the forest. Mushrooms! Hidden off the beaten track, under trees and bushes, chanterelles, rusalas, and many other are waiting to be collected. They forgot about the truffles. It says, a matter of chance whether you need to collect certain fungi. Is it fungi or fungi? In a certain period of time, or fungi.
Or with a fungi.
Fungi. Quabble is, I guess, a dice-rolling game. So in addition to having great fun picking mushrooms, there is now another way to pass the time until your next harvest. Those who leave their house and farm to make a trip to the new marketplace will find a large, colorful tent in the city. Here you will encounter a very different kind of diversion. At the gaming table, a farmer can challenge the computer or other players to quabble. Aim of this dice game is to inflict as much damage on the opponent as possible and force them to their knees. We do that with our heels every day. To anybody. For this, it is necessary to get the best combination with the six-sided dice. Swords inflict damage, hearts restore life points, and the four elements can be collected and used to cast powerful spells. There's also weekly competitions and ratings for all occupations. So far, only diligent anglers have participated in the weekly competition. We've been trying to avoid it.
Ooh. Fishing.
Whoever tops the rankings for a week can expect a very generous reward. Now, self-proclaimed master chefs, mining kings, and best quabble strategists and tacticians, as well as the fastest mushroom collectors, can compete against each other. Whoever wants to see their name on the leaderboard should get started right away. So you should get yourself over to farmkingdom.net and get started. We are avoiding it. Actually, I thought I was over.
Oh, no. Is it good?
I tried not to get too far. It was all shiny and bright, and it's a new game. We all know how we are with new games. Even when they're bad, those first 30 minutes to an hour, it's all good. It'll still pull you in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And that's the issue with most of these games. I'll play them for about an hour or two, maybe a day or three, and then it's like, I'm bored.
Boo.
All right. More news.
The UK people from the EA just sent me something else. Like,
oh, what they got?
It's stuff we've already seen. Nothing new. Stuff about FIFA on Vita and the Three Sims, Lunar Lakes, and Warp launch. We told you about Warp last week. There's some SSX business going on. Nothing new we haven't told you about already. I don't know why they sent this, but it's all in one email. Wow. I need y'all not to do that again. Everything is in here. Good gracious. Okay. Carol, I'm new here. Nothing to see here.
All right. GamePolitics.com this morning. We Know Ma channel shutting down April 30th.
No!
Yeah, according to AndreaSang.com, Nintendo of Japan will shut down its We Know Ma video service on April 30th. The service, which was launched in May 2009, offered a variety of paid content to consumers such as movies, anime, and more from companies such as Walt Disney and Warner Entertainment. The video on-demand channel was available to both Wii and DSi owners. The Wii No Ma video service featured original programming and partner content and was supposed to be released outside of Japan at some point. According to AndreaSang.com, it has seen 4.49 million downloads since launch and had 8.11 million users. Well, we never got it here, so that doesn't really affect me. All right, we got some more stuff since that one was short. GamePolitics.com, there is a report out saying consumers using credit cards less for online gaming. Gamers are using their credit cards less and less to make payments towards games. No, we've got PayPal. Why would we do that? According to new data released by research firm Newzoo, according to the research, 26% of consumers said that they use a credit card to make payments toward the games. But in 2011, that number dropped to 20%. Prepayment specialist Ucash concurs that with that conclusion. They say 9 out of 10 of its customers prefer using a cash alternative to their credit and debit cards. Prepaid game companies such as Incom, Microsoft, PaySafeCard, and Ucash have seen sales rise year on year. The amount spent on prepaid cards in general has risen from 90 million lindens, francs, whatever, 142 million USD in 2010 to 197 million in 2011. It's far from game over for cash, says Ucash CEO David Hunter. We're seeing demand from publishers and gamers for alternative payment. This could either be an ease of use issue where people want to use their bank accounts because they don't have access to a credit card, or it could mean that in light of security breaches, yes, that's a big one, like the one Sony endured on PlayStation Network, the PSN apocalypse, if you heard about it.
PSN apocalypse, baby.
Yes, PSN apocalypse. Consumers are gun-shy when it comes to using their credit cards for online game services, and I don't blame them. I mean, hell, we've even had Snow get hacked over on Xbox Live.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You know, I always thought that was odd. If you go to Walmart and whatnot, you see all these prepaid cards. For as many people as I know play Second Life, why is there not a prepaid card for Second Life?
Because I don't have an answer.
London Lobster, do that? They might make a goodly amount.
A Second Life prepaid, yeah, for a service. If you could just buy it up front. And, well, they primarily use a lot of PayPal anyway. I think they were one of the early adopters of it. So
yeah.
They really, I guess, see no point in having a card, although I'd like to have one. That would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Yes. You're in there shopping. You're like, you know what? I'm just going to pick this up.
Then again. But then again, that might be dangerous.
Yeah.
Take 50.
Yes.
I'm gonna take every shoe on this wall and this dress and this house. Just go ahead, send it to me from the marketplace. Go ahead, wrap it up.
That'd be bad. That'd be
I believe
really
cards
bad.
Don't make it a little difficult to track. If you think about Second Life, sometimes your stuff doesn't get to you when you buy it off the marketplace. Could be avoided. It's hard to track with a card. At least the way I understood it. Back in the days when I used to deal with them, it's a little harder to track when it's not an actual Visa card. It's just a prepaid Visa thing. But I could be wrong. Well, those of you in the UK got a new way to find your gaming soulmate. Does your personal life need a co-op mode? Are you looking for the...
Oh, my God. Really?
Perfect player, too. Well, Data Gamer... It is the brainchild of UK entrepreneur and TV presenter Tom Thurlow, offers free membership and caters for all persuasions. According to Eurogamer, the site claims it's home to over 150,000 single gamers. Mr. Thurlow is saying that it is reckoned that over two-thirds of men and more than half of women in the UK now regularly play video games, so it's about time they had access to a niche dating site.
Wait. Did you say reckon?
that he said reckoned. Yes, he did.
Oh, my God.
It's reckoned, he said. He says it's time they had access to a niche dating site packed with members sharing the same interests. With dateagamer.co.uk, gamers can make friends, have fun, and find Mr. or Mrs. Right. It sure beats giving the eye to an avatar all evening. oh, wow. You should see their promo image. Why? They always put the two guys two girls with a guy.
Don't know why they do this. But they should really probably not.
Why don't you just have a girl and a guy post together and then let it be done? And I'm not taking any dig at our lesbian or homosexual listeners. Just, you know, I think that covers all bases. You don't have to have them being romantic in the picture, just standing there looking cute in their shirt that says Data Gamer. And then
yes.
Everybody covered. Except for the people who like animals and insects, in which case, sorry, wrong site. Anyway, good luck with that over there. I'm hoping it does well. We've had a couple people try to do that here, but it has not panned out too well. So, but maybe the UK can do something that we can't. They tend to be a little bit better at these things than we are.
Yes, yes. All right, so what have we got? We have got so much different things. Okay. Have we talked about this? I don't think so. Developers spar over Hardline's ownership. We talked about that?
Oh, no. I don't think...
All right. So IndieGames.com apparently has an interesting story talking about the fallout of the people behind the popular iOS and Android game Hardline. The fight involves Spilt Milk, who, by their own admission, provided art assets and marketing for the game, and the game's programmer, Nicole Hunt. The argument is over who owns the game, who was wrong in breaking a contract they had in place, and what a reasonable amount of compensation is for the hard work. Yeah. All right, so they say we don't know what the contract entails, so what they can tell you is that Spilt Milk's sole proprietor, Andrew Smith and Nicole Hunt, decided to argue the matter in the public square of IndieGames.com. Nicole Hunt lays out his side of the story, claiming that after a year and a half of hard work from concept to final product, his game Hardline was released. At some point in the happy partnership, Nicole claims that Smith asked him to sign away his rights. As the creator of the game, he thought this was wrong, and so he refused to sign anything that would take away his rights. This is when he claims Smith terminated their existing contract and stopped paying him. He claims that he has not seen a payment from the game in 3 months. Spilt Milk's Andrew Smith has a different version of events. He says the whole thing has been blown out of proportion and that Nicole was insisting that he get 50% of the profit from all future game sales, even on platforms he didn't develop the game for. Yeah. All right, so they go back and forth. Comes down to the moral of the story is simple enough. When you enter into a partnership with someone, it is paramount that you lay out exactly what you expect for your work. You cannot leave details like future royalties to a verbal handshake. Get it in writing. Yes, people, in writing. And always, always read the fine print. Hardlines is no longer available for sale as of this writing. So it looks like nobody may be getting any money off of this.
And that's never good.
No, no, no. And, you know, if you didn't develop it for the other consoles and whatnot, the other platforms, I don't see 50%. I see maybe, you know, 10, 15, maybe even 20, because it was your idea. But, no, if I'm doing the work to move it to the other platforms, no, sorry.
It's sad. It's very, very sad.
Get it in writing, people.
All right. Well, those of you out there that love you some Borderlands, rejoice. Yay.
Yay. Why are we rejoicing?
Because Borderlands 2 official release date has been announced. Borderland launches for PC, Ooh. PlayStation 3, and Xbox on the 18th of September this year in the U.S. and the 21st of September internationally. Pre-order will get you access to Borderlands 2 Premier Club Access, which allows you to download in-game items. Access to Borderlands 2's Premier Club lets you download the Gearbox Gun Pack, a Golden Key, and a Vault Hunter's Relic. The Gearbox Gun Pack is a collection of unique guns. The Golden Key is an in-game item used to unlock a rare item in the Golden Sanctuary loot chest. The Vault Hunter's Relic is an in-game item that boosts players' gear hunting fortune while playing solo or co-op. The Gearbox first-person shooter features split-screen co-op and online co-op with drop-in, drop-out support, and the trailer reveals fresh gameplay footage is available somewhere around the web. I don't know if we have it. I don't know if they sent it to us. Well, anyway, again, you can check that out on September the 18th. And if we've got a trailer, you can probably find it at GameAtrix.com. I'm still looking in here to see if they gave me one. What the, what the deuce, people? What the deuce?
What the deuce? Seriously, what the deuce? And I've got to sneeze before I go into
okay.
this one.
No, I'll go ahead and grab another because that was kind of short, if you don't mind, ma'am.
Okay, go ahead.
Blessed you. All right, those of you who love you some Martial Empires, there's a new PvP update. That's right. Cut people in real time. This one's also short. The massive PvP update released today for Game Goes Action MMORPG Martial Empires will give you players plenty to fight about. In the new tournament mode, you can fight your way to the top of the ranking list in hopes of winning a fantastic prize, which is an exclusive gold tiger mount. Mm-hmm. I was thinking some real money would be good. In Region Wars, the goal is to conquer with guild. The winning guild earns more than just the right to collect taxes. They will also get a very helpful buff that varies by region. At the end of the week, they will need to defend their region against up to 15 challengers. In King's Chariot, the new high-level dungeon, players are faced with three different challenges. For example, the task of freeing a prisoner before his execution at the hands of an evil henchman. Each of the dungeon's three wings has two levels of difficulty with their own boss monsters and special loot. Players looking for rare crafting materials to make high-level equipment are in the right place here. Yay! So enjoy your update. This is one we haven't actually gotten a chance to try yet, so.
Awesome. All right. I've got... bear with me, people. Y'all know how much I hate Angry Birds. All right. Angry Birds space game to blast off with NASA aboard. I am pulling this from the Yahoo Tech section. Can't you tell how excited I am? All right. Heads of the Universe, the Furious Third Fighters is coming your way. Having conquered Earth, or at least its mobile and social networks, Angry Bird is launching into outer space with the latest version of Rovio's mobile popular strategy puzzle game. Announced last week, Angry Birds Space will blast off on March 22nd with NASA along for the ride. The space agency may have even inspired the game. Alright, less than a year later, and with a Space Act agreement in hand, Rovio and NASA are now counting down to a cross-platform launch that Rovio says will go where no mobile game has gone before. We'll launch simultaneously in mobile gaming, animation, retail, and publishing. Not only is this a first for us as an integrated entertainment company, but the first time this has ever been done for a mobile game. The Angry Birds Space website and video teaser released on February 17th doesn't offer a lot of information yet, other than the release date and the Neil Armstrong-inspired slogan, "One small fling for a bird, one quantum leap for birdkind." Are you kidding me? Somebody stab me now. A graphic on the site shows a slingshot firmly planted on the moon. In the original Angry Birds and in its follow-on version, Seasons and Rio, players use a similar slingshot to launch a flock of multicolored birds at hungry green pigs, knocking over wood, stone, and ice structures in the process. All right, about the only good thing out of the story is it does not look like they're actually launching the game into space. So there's that. I'm so sorry, universe. I'm so sorry. That'd be horrible. Evil.
Aww. It's okay. It's okay.
NASA. I love you, NASA. Why are you doing this to me? Why?
It's okay.
I even used to help out with the SETI project, and y'all do this to me.
She got emotional.
I did.
All right. What? You know what? I refuse to even talk about this. Frickin' casinos.
I know. They're everywhere. Everywhere.
Well, I will tell you about our favorite company, Paradox Interactive. Yay.
Yay. What have they got going?
Well, looks like they released an expansion for Victoria 2. Actually, it was a demo for the expansion for the demo. I don't know why how you do that. But anyway, the demo, of course, focuses on the American Civil War era, which allows you to play from 1836 to 1860. You can play as Prussia with a chance to form Germany through warfare or diplomacy. You can also play as Japan to westernize your country while fighting back reactionary forces. The devs have also cooked up something for those of you already playing the game. Join the After Action Report contest on their forums. Winners can stand to pick up a big chunk of the Paradox catalog. Their game got good in there. The development team behind Hearts of Iron and Europa Universalis' Victoria II, A House Divided, introduces a new starting point in 1861, allowing players to experience the U.S. Civil War from the era of absolute monarchies, encompassing expansion and colonization, culminating in the emergence of the U.S. as a social superpower at the dawn of the 20th century. You can go over to their Facebook page and check them out. It's Victoria Number 2 Game, and they also have a Twitter. And you can check out their forums and Victoria 2 Game. And, of course, you can find them on our site. Again, if you don't see it on the front page, there's a search box right there, top right. Search it out.
Yes.
Victoria 2.
Search it.
Search it out, darling.
All right. Never mind. I can't read that story. wow. All right. I am going to pull up another one because the one I had, I got to reading what it said, and I was like, no.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. All right, Red Death Games announces the release date of Solar Annihilation. Red Death Games is pleased to announce that Solar Annihilation will be released on February 28th. That's in 6 days, folks, on Xbox Live Indie Games. If you can find it, of course, at Microsoft. Solar Annihilation...
Ooh.
I can't talk now. That was hurtful. I can't talk now. Oh, my God. All right. Solar Annihilation. I can't say it. Annihilation. Solar Annihilation by Red Death Games is a 2D space shooter. Explore a dynamic 2D solar system while completing missions ranging from seek and destroy to stealth and resource gathering. Oh, my God. Why do I still want to giggle? Sandbox elements allow players to go at any time. A full game contains 18 mission campaigns, instant action mode, and cheat options. The game will sell for 80 Microsoft points or about $1 USD and contains around 2 hours of gameplay. Yeah. All right, so that was kind of short, actually. All right, let me grab another one. Did you already talk about Big Bass Arcade?
No, but I was looking at it. But go ahead. Tell us about it, because we just need another addiction, you and I.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Grab your fishing rod, hook a lure, and get ready to catch the biggest, baddest fish around. Developed Big John Games and published by Reverb Publishing, Big Bass Arcade will be the best way to get your fishing fix when it launches this March exclusively for the Wii system. Following on the footsteps of the popular WiiWare version of the game, this retail release of Big Bass Arcade allows players to get directly to the core of reeling in a big one by foregoing the first spot. Hey, I kind of like that. And bringing players directly to their prize. Big Bass Arcade puts the focus on timed events, big catches, and maximizing high scores, bringing an arcade approach to fishing and making this the most exciting fishing game for the Wii. Big Bass Arcade goes back to the basics, letting players experience instant action and catch tons of fish. Leveraging 17 years of fishing game experience and technology, Big Bass Arcade showcases incredible graphics, true-to-life fish behaviors, and spectacular animations and second-to-none fish AI, all evident from the first cast. Additionally, players have more game control than ever before, featuring two control options to choose from. Wii Remote, and the Plus Control Pad accessory for casting, reeling, and controlling the fish fighting action. All right, so what have we got? We've got 32 multi-day tournament events, lake, and catchable fish species. I'd like to say my Android phone fishing game has more than that. Thank you, and it's free. 40 fishing challenges from bass only. Any fish, single day to catch them all. Bonus cast challenges for each lake, and keep the records coming with a progressive world record bass tracker. All right. I love me some fishing games, but I have to say, I actually do like driving around the lake looking for my perfect spot.
You'll have to show me that game. Okay, so
yes.
Like I need more addiction. All right.
I know, right?
So, keeping with the fishing theme, remember that game from Dreamcast called Seaman?
Oh, what?
No, not that kind, Ginger. If you remember it, it's being revived for a release on the 3DS. A Japanese news newspaper report is revealing Seaman, which tasked players with caring for a curious fish beast pet, will be the first of several old franchises from third-party publishers that Nintendo wants revived for 3DS, according to Nike via Andrea Song. No word was given on whether this means the fresh Seaman will be a remake or a sequel. Released back on Dreamcast in 1999, Bizarre Creature Care Sim Seaman stars an odd-looking fish with a man's head, and it's scaring me looking at it. Stop it. Eurogamers is reporting that players interacted with their aquatic friend via the rarely used Dreamcatcher microphone. The game was narrated by Leonard Spock Nimoy. Interesting. Seaman creator Yute Saito went on to create the microphone-controlled pinball real-time strategy Odama for GameCube, which was possibly just as weird. So I can see why they put it on the DS, because a lot of their games are played with microphone and the touch screen, and now they have a camera. I believe it's called a camera. I, for one, will not be playing this because it looks scary. I don't like those types of strange creatures. We all know if you're going to make a strange creature for me to have as a pet, it needs to look cute and fluffy and like it won't decide to eat my arm off or something. And because that one was short, may I, Ginger, have another?
You may. Yes, you may.
I keep clearing my throat. I forgot I wasn't muted a minute ago. Wow. Sorry, guys. Trion's MMO Rift is heading to 6 locations in Southeast Asia thanks to a new deal with game operator AsiaSoft. AsiaSoft will operate and distribute Rift in Indonesia, the Philippines, Singapore, Malaysia, Vietnam, and Thailand. Previous Trion deals have set the game up for release in Korea with CJ, E&M Games, and China through Shanda Games. Trion has a global view, and when it comes to delivering premium games and our initiatives to bring Rift to Asia through some of the industry's biggest collaborations sets Trion apart from other Western game developers, offers Spoiler, CEO of Trion Worlds. AsiaSoft, with its deep reach into Southeast Asia countries, is an ideal partner to realize our goal of bringing original connected experiences like Rift to gamers everywhere. And that is GI.biz reporting.
Yes, yes, it does. All right.
No gold farming comments, Ginger?
No. I refuse. No, not going to get wound up by the gold farming. Not going to do it. I am going to lose my voice, apparently. Wow. We sound so wonderful, don't we? We're always coughing and hacking. And
yes.
Always nice.
This weather's lovely.
All right. No, this weather's not lovely. This is ridiculous. Create Studios announces EU release of Minis title Alien Havoc and Bubble Trouble Bundle for PlayStation Network. All right, so Create Studios, I already talked about that. Alien Havoc is an old-school throwback to the classic 8-bit era of gaming that puts players in command of an alien who must pluck cows from farms, load them onto his spaceship, and bring them back to his home planet. However, the farmers won't let their cows go without a fight, as players must tackle rapping levels, hide and sneak in the cover of tall grass, and throw veggies, rocks, and whatever else they can to distract the farmers and successfully capture their livestock. That actually sounds kind of cute. Right, so injecting a new unique twist to the classic puzzle game, Bubble Trouble transforms bubble-popping fun into a competitive sport as delightfully colorful bubbles freely float to the bottom as they naturally settle. It's your job to merge bubbles of the same color as the liked color bubbles fuse together as one to create even larger bubbles. Get them big enough and pop they go, opening the door for exciting combos as the remaining bubbles settle to fill in the available space. But make sure to keep them popping, because if you run out of space for the new bubbles, it's game over. To avoid any trouble, you've got to burst up your bubble. Oh my god. Alright, so that is for the PlayStation Network. And those actually sound kind of cute. I do think I want to play Alien Havoc.
Alright, we're getting close to time where we have to go. Did you happen to catch that? Did we catch that Apple thing last night? Anybody catch it? If you did, let us know what you thought of it. Were you disgusted? Were you said, "Oh, that's not so bad," you know? But I do have some interesting news. There seems to be a lot of people getting funding this week.
Yay! We like funding.
We like funding. ResearchGate, which is a social network for scientists to share knowledge and research, announced Wednesday it has raised its second round of funding, led by Founders Fund partner and PayPal co-founder Luke Nosek. What's a scientist to do when they want to connect with a colleague and share research? They can't go to Facebook to share their guarded secrets, which is why ResearchGate was created. Research is a full-blown network for scientists and researchers to connect, share, and collaborate. They can log in through their Facebook accounts as well, which is not good because we know they track cookies.
Yes.
A representative
for the not the good kind of cookies either.
A representative for the company told VentureBeat, research science is moving to more moving to more openness. And with global mass adoption of the internet and smartphones, people's norms and expectations are changing in how they interact with each other online. Co-founder Dr. Ejad Matit, I can't say your last name, Madish. He got the idea for ResearchGate while studying for his PhD. He wanted a way to connect with other science students to collaborate and share knowledge, pretty much the same way Facebook came about. Scientists can post information and reports, connect with their peers to exchange ideas and collaborate on problems. The social network has been up and running for 4 years now, with just about 1.3 million members from the scientific community. ResearchGate fits in with the trend of scientists shying away from publishing research to scientific journals and instead flocking to sites like ArXiv and PLOS. Yeah, that's ArXiv and PLOS to publish work quickly. ResearchGate takes online publishing a bit further by adding a social element. Members of the ResearchGate can comment on published research and offer feedback, which isn't available on other scientific publishing sites. Very nice. ResearchGate raised its first round of institutional funding in September 2010, though the company hasn't disclosed how much money it has received. Benchmark Capital, Excel Partners, Michael Birch, and David O. Sachs participated in this latest round. The company is based in Berlin, Germany, and has more than 40 employees. Fantastic.
That is awesome.
I wonder if just anybody can join, or do you have to pay a fee?
I don't know. That would be good to know. I have to know if you might like that.
I know I would. You know how I'm.
Yes, exactly. All right, we got a couple of minutes. Do you want me to do another one?
Yeah, you got about 3 minutes before, and I'll bring the music up, you know, when we get close to time.
Okay. All right, Area Games releases new content for Eden Eternal, featuring new Ranger class, maps, and increased level cap. The new content update includes the all-new Ranger class, an increased level cap, new maps and dungeons, and upgraded PvP content. Eden Eternal has expanded its vibrant world to include the ranks of the agile warrior known as the Ranger, whose deadly aim can easily disable opponents from a distance. With a fury of high DPS ranged attacks at its disposal, including the Meteor Shower and the Arrow of Fear, this powerful class can stealthily take out its opponents from afar by bow, artillery gun, or even eagle. That sounds kind of cool. The Ranger class's unique ability to summon of the mighty Hunter's Eagle makes it a lethal new addition to the Eden Eternal universe. In addition to the Ranger class, an increased level cap of 65 and new PvP enhancements have been made. The improvements such as 3v3 matchmaking system have been refined to more effectively pair players with others in their level range. By creating a more balanced, intensive match, players have access to an even-footed arena experience to prove their strength in PvP combat. We've also got new level 61 to 65 maps, amazing new areas including the Witchcraft Forest and Shiver Peak for players to forge through new landmarks in pursuit of wealth and adventure. And we've got new level 61 to 65 dungeons. Epic dungeons full of newly dangerous monsters for players to battle, secrets to discover, and powerful gear to loot and equip. All right, so Eden Eternal is free to download on the PC and is free to play. And I've played it before. I played the beta, and it does really fall if you're looking for a deep and similar alternative to WoW. This is a good one. Go over and check it out. And I really, really want to say I think this is the one with the crafting system I like.
Ginger.
Later, boys and girls. Mwah!